Well, let me just welcome you again, CRC, and those who are visiting, family and friends. We are grateful to have you all here tonight. It's great to be able to celebrate on this Christmas Eve. My name is Spencer. I am one of the pastors here at Christ Redeemer Church, and we're all just really excited to have you here tonight. I know that our family, especially, is just really looking forward to this night and celebrating our first Christmas season with you all here in Minnesota. I know this is not a lot of snow for you all on Christmas Eve, but I'm not sure I remember the last time I've seen this much snow on Christmas Eve. It seems to just make it all the more festive together. So this is a great night to be gathered with you all. Let me read from John chapter 8, verse 12, and then pray for us, and then I'll get into the message for this evening. This is what the author says in John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Father, as we come to this text, and even as we sit in this room that is darkened more than normal, we are just overwhelmed that we get to celebrate tonight that Jesus is the light that has come, that has shone in the darkness, and that brings with him life. We pray that tonight would be a wonderful celebration of Jesus, the light who has brought life. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's hard for us, for most of us at least, to imagine a world without electricity to light our homes, to light our church building, to light the streets on which we will drive home from here tonight. Even during our service, we have already seen and we will continue to somewhat manipulate the lights on and off with a simple flick of our fingers or a turn of the knob. It's really a remarkable thing if you think about it, but most of us, we just take this for granted. But it was still less than 150 years ago that Thomas Edison built the Pearl Street Generating Station, that first sending electrical power to a whopping quarter square mile of Lower Manhattan in New York City. 150 years ago. That means that some of us have great-great-grandparents that remember this time. Some of us might have great-grandparents that remember this time. Some might even have grandparents that remember electricity coming into homes. What a time that would have been in history to go from a world of almost darkness at night to with no electricity to a world of light at the flip of a switch. Listen to this excerpt from a novel about a small Irish village describing what it was like to live during the time of crossing over into a world of electricity. The narrator says this: "I am aware here that it may be hard to imagine the enormity of this moment. The threshold that once crossed would leave behind a world that had endured for centuries, and that this moment was only 60 years ago. Consider this: when the electricity did finally come, it was discovered that the 100-watt bulb was too bright for the villagers. 100-watt bulb! The instant garishness was too shocking. Dust and cobwebs were discovered to have been thickening on every surface since the 16th century. The reality was appalling. It turned out Cinny Dunn's fine head of hair was actually a wig, not even close to the color of the scruff on his neck. And Marianne McGlynn, her healthy allure was in fact a caked makeup the color of red turf ash. In the week following the switch on, the store owner, Tom Clahesi, couldn't keep mirrors in stock. People came from out in the country and they bought looking glasses of every variety. They went home and in merciless illumination endured the chastening of all flesh when they saw what they looked like for the very first time. Quite an experience of crossing over from a world of darkness and into a world of light. But there is, however, a time in history that experienced an even more significant crossover from a world of darkness into a world of light. 2,000 years ago, the nation of Israel gathered to celebrate a festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, as it was called. It was the third and final major festival in the Jewish calendar. Thousands of people from all over the country and surrounding regions gathering in the city of Jerusalem to join in this wonderful celebration. This festival celebrated the agricultural harvest of the area by giving gratitude to God for his yearly provision for the nation. It was during this week-long celebration that people would build temporary shelters or booths, as they called them, commemorating God's provision during the 40 years of living in tents in the wilderness. Since God led them through the wilderness as a fire by night, light served as a major theme in this particular festival. The epicenter of the celebration was found in the courtyard of the temple. There's four giant lamps that were lighting the temple courtyard, and some would even say that these four lights were bright enough to light the entire city of Jerusalem. Since lights were the focal point of the festival, the celebration exploded at night with singing and dancing and eating. And on the last night of this particular festival, as the priest extinguished the lights of each of the four lamps, Jesus stood in what is now the darkness of night, and he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Not even Thomas Edison's provision of light through electricity can compare to God's provision of light through Jesus. Jesus is the light by which we cross over the threshold from a world of darkness and into a world of light. Let me just highlight for you three claims that Jesus is making in this singular verse and this singular statement. Claim number one is that this light shines for all the world. This is what Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus wasn't just the light for Israel. He wasn't just the light for the people standing in the temple that particular day. Jesus isn't just the light for the people that sit in this room. Jesus is the light of the world, a light that is to extend to every corner of the earth. This means that there's not a person for whom this light does not shine. This means that whether you drove here tonight from Minnesota or Wisconsin, Jesus is the light. Whether you come from a home that's put together or a home that's falling apart, Jesus is the light. This means that whether English is your first language or second language, Jesus is the light. He is the light by which the world recognizes darkness and sees the path out. So if you're sitting here tonight, Jesus is the light for you. Jesus is the light that brings spiritual sight where there is spiritual darkness. Jesus is the light that illumines the path out of darkness and into light. Claim number two, not all will follow the light. Just because Jesus is the light and just because he now shines in the darkness, it does not mean that all will cross over out of the world of darkness and into the world of light. Some see the light but choose to remain in darkness. In the same way that you might flip a switch in your home to access the electricity that's powering the home, so too the promise of spiritual light comes through the switch of following Jesus. This is what he says, right? This is what he says in verse 12, right? Everyone who follows me will not walk in darkness. This seems to imply that there will be some, perhaps even many, that will not follow Jesus and remain in darkness. To not follow the light is to remain walking in darkness. Claim number three, following the light leads to life. Those who do follow the light will have the light of life. Or we might say it like this, to follow Jesus is to have the light that produces life. This is an amazing statement that Jesus brings. He shines as a light and he brings life to those who have him. I was thinking this week about a story from our first year of marriage for Jen, my wife, and I. During our first year of marriage, we spent a couple months backpacking on the Appalachian Trail. It's quite a breaking into marriage to be dropped in the middle of the wilderness during year one and learning to survive and enjoy one another. And a lot of marriage problems just get worked out if you're dropped in the middle of the wilderness and you have to figure out how to survive together. One of our worst nights, it was a great time overall, but one of our worst nights of the trip came when we were hiking this mountain called Old Blue. And you can ask my wife, but we both have, you know, vivid images of this night. This was a mountain in Maine, and the day started out good. In fact, the day was probably one of our best hiking days up to this point on the trip. As soon as we got to the top of the mountain, though, the sky started to turn dark, and it got dark really fast. And all of a sudden, it began to rain as a sprinkle, which quickly turned into a huge downpour. So here we were on the top of this mountain, Old Blue, and it's dark and it's raining, and it's still the afternoon. It's like 4 o'clock. We should have plenty of light, but it was just a downpour. The problem was we still had a couple miles of a pretty steep downhill hike, followed by another couple miles to a shelter that we were going to camp at for that evening. It turned into just a miserable evening of trying to hike down this mountain. And as we were getting to the bottom of the mountain, I saw a light at the bottom. And the more we continued to hike, that one light turned into two lights. They were headlights of a car. And we saw these lights, and we could kind of gauge how close we were to the bottom of the mountain by how much those lights kind of came into view more and more. And as we got down to the bottom, we recognized two hikers that had passed us earlier in the day. They were thinking about us being up on the mountain in the middle of the rain. They got back to their cars, and they waited to take us to warmth. They drove us into town, and we got a warm meal and a nice shower. We got to wash our clothes, and we got to sleep in a bed instead of sleeping in wet sleeping bags in a wet tent with wet clothes. And I'll never forget the way the headlights of that car brought us out of the darkness of that storm and into the light, and into the light that produced life for our journey. So friends, this is what Jesus claims to be, the light of the world that produces life, that gives life. Jesus is the light by which we cross the threshold from a world of darkness and into a world of light. Listen, friend, if you're here this evening and you're walking in darkness, then would you look to Jesus? Would you follow Jesus? Would you follow the light that leads to life? Brothers and sisters, those of you who are already following Jesus, remember that what you celebrate tomorrow is the glorious truth that the light has come. The light has come, and with it is life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Father, we thank you that tonight we sing and celebrate and prepare for this glorious celebration tomorrow that Jesus, the light of the world, has come to lead us out of darkness and into light. Lord, there are so many wonderful things that we get to celebrate during this season, but none are quite as wonderful as that good news. Lord, we pray that what we do as we finish our singing, as we fellowship with one another, would all be in wonderful glory to you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.